Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September the 4th, 260th, 59th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the old man who lives by the sea, Bill McCauley.
I do. I indeed live by the sea. So yeah. It's nice to be here. Nice to know you'll join me in old mandom
here
in the next...
The annual
within the next week
the annual where I can point my finger at him and say he's an older than me
I don't know why I don't know why I don't always cancel out in September
or just plead forgetfulness and move on
the problem with pleading ignorance is I do it very naturally and people think it's just you know the natural state
just
of
you
affairs.
Just
so
being
I,
Bill
I have to be careful doing it too much because yeah. It just plays into the image
becomes a personality trait. What do you got a hold of there?
Oh, there's you know it's an interesting world right now, Brian. With the elections here for the next few months are you know everybody's distracted and Congress is at home and there's, you know, from a tax law perspective, things are kind of murky and, you know, sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen and what people are going to do. So
darn, I thought you were going to say an accountability is in the air.
Oh, I don't think
no,
so.
No, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about what is up in the air all that right. We're all smelling and having to deal with when we come back.
All right.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Josh Billings. We don't know, but his quote is rather nice. Yeah. Genius ain't anything more than elegant common sense. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah. I never heard of the man and probably will never hear from him again, but that was kind of fun.
Yeah, well, it was nice to...
Common sense. And imagine, we're trying to talk about tax law. Where is the break in the logic?
Uh-oh.
Let's look at the state first, because I somehow tend to think that the state of California is more upside down and in more of a ticking time bomb than the federal government, if that's possible. What is California, and to a certain extent also Oregon, what are they doing about their financial houses? Anything at all? Normally tax law somehow is involved with trying to rectify the train wreck.
Yeah, when you look at California in particular, we obviously we're pointing ahead to the fall elections to see, or the November elections, to see what happens with the governor's proposals. We talked a little bit about Governor Brown's tax proposals last month, and that the disposition of that by the voters, that and a couple of other kind of companion provision or ballot provisions will be somewhat determinative of you know what happens in California, simply because if the governor's plan, as an example, is passed, then it'll kind of be business as usual, I think. I don't think that you're going to see any significant change in governance. But if not, then I think you're going to see some cuts in spending beginning in January because I think they're simply not, you know, they're going to be so far out of whack if they don't cut pretty significantly that I think you're going to end up seeing some behavior change. Now, how that manifests itself, and it's certainly going to be accompanied with a lot of political rancor, and I don't know. I don't know how to predict that. But I do think that if no one should confuse my saying that that this, the results of this would be, potentially some upset, because I'm not really supportive of the governor's proposal personally, but, you know, because I think it's not solving the problems personally. But by the same token, I do think that if it doesn't happen, it's going to be there's going to be some tumult, and it's up to all of us to kind of decide whether we think the tumult's a good thing or a bad thing, if it's worthwhile or not.
Now, we've seen some of the indications already that, again, education's going to take a hit, and some other things are teed up. Kathy Lehner was out, CR.
Yes.
And said for the first 2 months of this year, after the show, she said that the school got $8,000.
Yeah.
And they're going to get 41% by the end of the calendar year, as the state's hedging that it won't happen. Yeah. Merle Harpin was in yesterday talking about this realignment fiasco, and I don't think that that's too strong of a word that's going on throughout not only Humboldt and the North Coast, but throughout the state of California, and how that's not working as the state continues to sidestep some of the financial obligations and shift everything down to the county level or the cities. Do you sense that that's the kind of stuff that they're looking at, or are they really looking at some kind of fundamental changes?
Well, I think to the degree it can be shifted down, it's going to happen. That's the MO for our state government is they tend not to take full responsibility for problems, and they tend to shift it to some other population that they can do within the budget structure. And so schools and others are getting get a disproportionate because the state has enough discretion there that's where they choose to exercise their discretion and in short the funding. And so what's happening is, you know, concurrent with everything that's going on with the state is this supposition that's out there that we may see more municipal bankruptcies like we've seen with Vallejo and Stockton and Mammoth, I believe.
San Bernardino. But functionally, are those communities suffering at all?
Well, I don't live in any of those communities. I think that does day-to-day business go on? Yes. There's some big questions that are kind of underlying this whole thing, which is really employment related and employee benefit related. And I think that's where...
Yeah, the retirement plans is what my sense has been that's the source of a lot of this information.
Yeah, and ultimately, the bankruptcies, there's still folks trying to determine whether or not by declaring bankruptcies, whether they're actually going to be able to renegotiate some of these contracts.
It's 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the old CPA, Bill McCauley.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Good. Give me a rock in the chair. Now, if we plan this one properly next year, we will be out on the porch.
Ah.
Yeah, with the rocking chair. Yeah, and then we could really start doing it.
And a glass of lemonade.
Lemonade,
or
yeah.
That'd be nice. I look forward to that.
Good. Yeah, we all have to have something to look forward to.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, the audience, you're stuck.
Well, yeah. So, we could have a gathering, a little party.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the fan club.
Yeah, we don't have to buy too much lemonade.
No. I think the lemon tree is okay. So if the state of California is hesitant to deal with some of the structural elements... We are in an on election cycle, obviously. Do you think that there's any sentiment at the federal level
sentiment
to deal with this also?
Well, I think there is. At this point, there's such a divided view of how to accomplish certain things that it's tough to see. I don't think there's a commonly viewed clear path to get from one place to another. I think that you've got one segment of our voting population that feels very strongly that things should happen in one manner, and you got another one that feels it should happen in a very different way. And Ultimately, though, we sort of agree because, you know, in the budget deal that was passed, you know, we've got some spending cuts that are going to happen beginning in January of 2013 if there isn't a consensus on refining how that how the budget process will be dealt with. So far, there's been no action, so therefore we're looking at these automatic triggered cuts that would be, that are supposed to occur beginning in 2013. Half of that is going to go to the military, about $55 billion, and half of it will go to the other programs. Interestingly, the military spending is approximately 20%. So military spending is going to bear a disproportionate percentage of that cut. That's automatic. That's triggered if there isn't some other steps taken. I can't tell you exactly what the format of those additional steps, what that would have to look like. But you know, our elected officials know what that is. So you know, we are looking at. There was an agreement saying, "Hey, we're going to have to cut our spending if we can't agree to do some other things." So I think there is some limited agreement that. In some cases and in certain situations, spending should be cut. I think there's a pretty significant disagreement about where that should come from. And I suppose that's healthy in our country that we have a nice dynamic where people, you know, have different opinions and they feel very comfortable to express them. But so far, it hasn't been productive in getting any consensus on where we're going to make cuts.
Well, with the focus on the home front right now during the election cycle, is there any activity, any momentum, any direction, any efforts being applied towards getting these things teed up so when they do come back after the election or whenever that might happen to be next, that they can punch out a number of these bills, get something done in a timely fashion, or is it again going to be December 29th?
It's going to be messy.
Wait a minute, it won't be December 29th because that's a Saturday and we all know they don't work on Saturday.
But the 28th is available.
Yeah, that it is, and probably Monday the 31st is out because that's New Year's weekend.
If anything, in my opinion, if anything's going to get done, it'll get done by the middle of December because our elected officials would like to spend time with their families. Of course, that'll make it difficult on the rest of us who have to then act upon whatever they might decide to do. But, you know, we've been there before, and our elected officials are clearly, when it comes to spending time with their family, they're more worried about themselves than other segments of the population. So I would guess that, you know, you would see something by the middle of December, you know, maybe the 20th at the latest, if something's going to happen in December.
Will the states be at the same level and wait until?
Now, the states are going to be, I don't think you're going to see much change from a tax perspective. We don't have the same challenge, particularly here in California, we don't have the same challenge in terms of a fiscal cliff. I mean, there may be some scheduled cuts that would begin occur, or some cuts that may need to be occurring in January, but I don't think it's going to be driven by tax law that would be enacted after, you know, in the post-election period of time.
Or not enacted.
Right. And so I think that what we're going to see from the state is kind of, you know, a 7 week kind of everybody take their breath and figure out what January is going to look like, depending on how, you know, what the results are of the election, you know, the elections here within the state of California. From a federal perspective, I think that post election, you're either going to see now it depends on what if you assume that the president is reelected and that there's say a Republican House and a Democratic Senate, then you're going to have one set of conventional wisdom thoughts to look at as far as what might occur post election. If Romney were to win and there was to be, say the Republicans take the Senate, nobody would believe that they would have a veto proof. No rational commentators that I've heard would believe they would have a veto proof majority in the Senate. But that would certainly lead to another possibility, which some observers have conjectured, that perhaps if that were to occur, the Republicans would signal that there will be changes in early January or February that would be retroactive.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 336. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Oh, happy birthday, by the way. I mean, as long as I've been banging on you, I didn't even bother saying that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Forgot the card, forgot the gift, so I forgot the pair.
Yeah. Would you like me to announce your birth date so everybody knows when to call in and say happy birthday, or do you want to just leave it innocuous?
Well, you know, you could try the call in, or you pop in next week when certain educators are here.
Yeah, there you go.
I take your pick, you know, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always good to be sabotaged.
It's good. You got to be a little bit flexible as you go.
Yeah. Particularly that dead mic thing. Works like a champion.
We're okay now. Right.
Yeah. So what are you looking at out of the feds that'll give you any kind of indication that some of these situations that haven't been addressed will be addressed in one form or another, regardless of who's in charge or who wins?
Well, I think the whole thing comes down to who wins. I think if the president is reelected, I do believe he's been very, very clear that he would like to see the upper end taxpayers pay a greater percentage of the tax burden.
Is there a distinction between income earned and small business? Because that's one thing that's starting to get a little bit of lip service, is that small business operators are part of that 250,000 because of the way that things are reported. Starting to be a cleaving of that?
Not that I've heard from the president. But there are people, I think, who are aware that the $250,000 bright line that the president has drawn is going to include people who, people are going to be over that line who are not, who probably most of us wouldn't look at and say they're stinking rich. And so, but again, this is all a judgment call, and it's all
and
a perspective
theoretical thing. At this point.
It is, but I do believe that the president's been very clear that he would like to. He does not want to see the entire Bush tax cuts that we've referred to for the last 11 years in some form or another. He does not want to see them renewed across the board. So any renewal would be targeted based upon income levels. And there are some people in his party. Patty Murray, the senator from Washington, is one person who has spoken out that she believes that all the tax cuts should go away, and that will result in the single largest, in effect, tax increase in American history if that occurs because we're talking about provisions of law that not only were passed during the Bush administration, but you're also talking about provisions of law that have been passed during the Obama administration, including the payroll tax cut, which is scheduled to go away next year. And so, you know, you're talking about a massive change in tax obligation. In addition, you could also have some spending cuts. And those things would have to be agreed upon on some form or another. And I could conceive of, if the president was reelected and you had a Democratic Senate and a Republican House, I could conceive of those groups not being able to come together and have a meeting of the minds as to what those cuts should look like. And then you'd go to that, I think they call them sequestration kind of a deal where, you know, the cuts just happen based upon a previous agreement. So that those are things, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. I think that the Romney administration, or that a Romney administration, would probably try to signal that they would expect to deal with that in the next year. If you have if Romney's elected, but you have a Democratic Senate and a Republican House, that's a pretty tough one to predict. But in any regard, no observers really expect the Republicans would have a veto-proof majority in the Senate, which is going to give the Democrats a pretty good voice, the minority party in the Senate a pretty good voice in terms of how things would occur.
So at this point, it's pretty much a hurry up and wait?
I think so. Unfortunately, there are some really important pieces of legislation, such as the AMT patch. We've talked about that before. Really needs to happen. We don't have a patch for 2012. You could see as many as 15 to 20 more million people in the alternative minimum tax, subject to its provisions, this year if they don't put that patch into place. So that's going to be, you know, that's a lot of voters.
KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, everybody seems to parrot the phrase that small business is where job creation occurs. Okay. I don't sense, in looking at some of the small business websites that I will tend to frequent, that there's any kind of certainty there at all. A lot of things that seem to pop up is, what is the impact of the nationalized health care? We don't know, because things start really kicking in next year or the year after that. What about this? What about and there's just, you know, if the economy is up, great. But you can tell with the jobs that we're treading water at, what, 150,000 jobs? But you're supposed to be at 3.25, 3.5. So that doesn't seem – there seem to be an awful lot of keys or indicators, rather, saying, I don't know. Let's wait and find out.
Yeah, and clearly the jobs are a big part of the picture, from the standpoint that if you consider that there are fewer people working in America than when the president took office, and that the recovery started 4 months after he became president officially, it's not a record that most presidents want to run on. That being said, it is his record, and he's going to have to deal with that. And we're going to have to be in a position of deciding which direction we think we need to go. But
for small businesses, normally this time of the year, we start talking about, well, you want to start doing a ding a ding a ding a ding before the end of the year or consider these choices. Yeah. And my sense is it's going to be a compressed 4 weeks of panic buy.
Mad scramble.
Or panic retrenchment and cost containment.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a mad scramble. The problem is that you've got all this uncertainty. Nobody knows what the tax law is going to be. You've got certain people who think that depending on the outcome of the election, one way or another, that their fortunes are going to be made or broken one way or another. I don't know if that's really true. I think to some degree there's some truth to that, but I don't know that it's wholesale true. But when you have uncertainty, you have business takes a breath. It's harder to take risk when there's more variables, and we know that in our own lives. If we were looking at buying a car and we're making a decision, we're going, but I'm not sure. My job's pretty secure, but my wife, they work for this business, and we're not sure where that's going. You know, the more variables of uncertainty we have in our lives, the harder it is for us to take extra risk, and it's that for small business, you know, but the intensity meter's dialed up a lot, and because of the risks that are involved, and so that but small business is the job creator and the job generator historically in our country, and that engine we need to get going, and good people are going to disagree about how that best should be accomplished. But it's in all of our interest that that occur.
So what would you suggest to somebody right now. Just hold your breath, wait and see. Tune in 2 months, and we ought to have a rollicking good time.
I think that what we're doing with some of our clients is we're actually working on kind of a dual track planning mode, saying, okay, if you assume X set of conditions are going to occur, then this is the kind of decisions we would probably want to make and be prepared to do. And on the other hand, if you assume a different set of circumstances, this would be the kind of assumptions that would lead you to say, okay, we're going to make another set of decisions. So, you know, that's really the best thing you can do at this point is plan for contingency. And historically, somebody would come in and say, "Gee, you know, my profitability's here, and I expect this in the following year." And you know, we'd go through a few discussions, and because we'd feel a lot of certainty, it'd be easier for that particular business to make decisions. This year, it's tough.
So when there's doubt, most hold back.
Yes.
Cost containment, kind of the rule of thumb at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that businesses are not gonna, you know, they don't want to leverage themselves anymore when they don't know what certain conditions are going to be. They're going to be more conservative in keeping their working capital a little closer to vest, and so all those things often mean that there's a little less going on in the economy, and that affects all of us because, you know, for all of us who deal with small business, we're touched by what our fellow businesses are doing and how they need our services or our products or our supplies or whatever the case might be.
Well, so hopefully there'll be a little bit of clarity in the next little bit. Not much, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I think post in the post-November environment, we're going to see some interesting decisions.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Bill McCauley. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.